Humbled by your presence today at the house of the Lord, that we might worship God in honor of his resurrected son. And as Doug said in the announcements, we're glad to have you, and if you're visiting, we want to invite you back. As a basis of our study today, I'd like to read from Acts, the 12th chapter, and you'll be able to read this probably on the screen. It says here, now about that time, now this is verse 1 of Acts 12, now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hand to vex certain of the church. And when he had killed James, the brother of John, with a sword, and because he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. And then you have a parenthetical statement here. It says, these were the days of unleavened bread. Ladies and gentlemen, I've been studying with you the history of the church from its inception on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2, when 3,000 people obeyed the gospel. I like to study about the old Jerusalem church. I like to study about how they preached, how they converted people, some of the things that transpired, how they were arrested for preaching the gospel, how that they showed that they ought to obey God rather than man over in Acts, the 5th chapter. We studied the conversions of some of the people God had selected, such as the Ethiopian eunuch and Cornelius. We studied that God selected these people because they had good and honest hearts, and they would accept the gospel when they heard it. And I emphasized that last week in my lesson. Here it says that Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain in the church. That word vex is a compound word. It actually has a dual meaning. One of the meanings is to wear down. Lot pitched his tent toward the wicked cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He's the nephew of Abraham. And when he got up to Sodom and Gomorrah, he found out that they were very wicked. And the Bible says that it vexed his soul because he heard the filthy conversation of the wicked in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. That is, it just wore him down. It disgusted him. And I want to tell you, my friends, a Christian is vexed by ungodliness wherever he may find it. And if he isn't, then there's something wrong with him. If a person joins in with people as of Sodom and Gomorrah, it means he wants to do the same things they're doing. And, of course, he isn't vexed by it because he likes that kind of a society. But a Christian is disturbed by it. Like Lot, it vexes his soul. It wears him down, so to speak, because he doesn't like it. You know, I don't know how far America is from a Sodom and Gomorrah, but I get vexed in this country. I get vexed on what I see on TV. I get vexed at some of the politicians and the laws they pass. I get vexed, ladies and gentlemen, at some of the comedians on TV. I was dialing my TV the other day, changing the channels, and I came over a channel where they were having a comedy. And this comedian was up, and he was cracking his vulgar jokes, and the people were laughing, and he had a big crowd. And finally, he got off and made fun of Jesus. And I thought, what's this country coming to? People, you know, it's bad enough to tell a smutty, filthy joke and get people to laugh at it. But when you get to where you can make fun of Jesus and people are laughing at it, we're in pretty bad shape in America, and I actually heard that. I've heard comedians make fun of God, and they make fun of religion, and they make fun of Jesus Christ. Does that vex your soul? Lot's soul was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, and you should be vexed by it. It should just wear you down. It's disgusting. And yet, there are a lot of people in America who like it, which show you the way we're headed. And the route, my friend, is not encouraging. Now, the word vex has another meaning, and it actually means to kill or to destroy. The way it's used here by Luke, when it says that Herod stretched forth his hand to vex certain in the church, it means he actually was going to kill them, and he did. It was old Herod who killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, I raise this question. What was there about James that Herod did not like? Was it his personality? I don't think so. It was the thing for which he stood. He stood for the old Jerusalem gospel. He was a member of the church. Herod was a Jew. You see, you got to understand, these Herods were Jews. And they didn't like the church. As a matter of fact, to be frank, Paul was a Jew, and he didn't like the church at first because he made havoc of the church and arrested both men and women. He didn't like the church of Christ. He didn't like the church of the Lord. He didn't like this group of people who had obeyed the gospel starting on the day of Pentecost and continuing on through the New Testament. Now, some of the Orthodox Jews felt that members of the church had broken off from the main body of Judaism. Therefore, they branded them as being heretics. Matter of fact, Paul mentions that. Now, they weren't heretics, but that's the way they looked at it. That's the way Paul looked at it. That's the way Herod looked at it. So why was he an enemy? Why would he kill James? Had James done something personally to him? Not at all. But he didn't like the thing for which he stood. He didn't like the gospel of Jesus. He didn't like the church of the living God. And since James was a member of the church and was a preacher and an apostle, he decided to kill him. And he had the power to do that. And so he killed him with a sword. And he apprehended Peter and would have killed him. But we'll read about that later. The Lord decided to lead Peter out of jail, which he did. And we'll talk about the difference in the two in a few moments. But I want to go back here and talk about this man, Herod. Did you know the word Herod is a common name in the New Testament? And there's five of them mentioned as kings, five Herods. There's Herod the Great, who lived in the days of Jesus and was appointed by Julius Caesar to rule over Judea. He had three sons. His first son was named Philip. His second one was named Antipas. And the third one was Agrippa. Then Agrippa had a boy who heard the gospel preached in Matthew 27, 28, I believe it is, where Paul preached to King Agrippa and his sister Bernice. And he said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Now, he was the son of Herod Agrippa. And his name was Agrippa. And he was reigning at the time Paul was preaching over in the latter part of Acts of the Apostles. Herod the Great, now I'm not sure why they called him Herod the Great. He's the one who reigned during the days of Jesus, when Jesus was a little a child in Matthew, the second chapter. He was appointed by Julius Caesar. These Herods were Jews. You have to understand that the Herods were Jews. People like Pilate, they were Gentiles. And then there was Festus and Felix. They were Gentiles. They weren't Jews. But yet they were governors. They were rulers. But the Herods were Jews. Therefore, they knew a little bit more about Jesus than the Gentiles did. And I think that's why King Agrippa wanted to hear Paul over in the latter part of Acts when Paul preached that wonderful sermon there. But nevertheless, this first Herod was known as Herod the Great. He had the three sons, and he lived at the time Jesus was born. And when the wise men found out where Jesus was born, he called them in and says, "Could you tell me where this new king of the Jews is born?" And they said, "In Bethlehem of Judea." Well, he said, "When you find out the exact place, come back and let me know, because I'd like to worship him too." Well, he's lying. He didn't intend to worship him. He intended to kill him. Someone says, "But why? Why would Herod want to kill a little baby Jesus?" Well, because the Jews had announced that he was king of the Jews, and Herod was a king. And Herod thought that Jesus was going to establish a kingdom which would be in competition to his. And those old kings didn't like competition. They believed in wiping them out, that is, killing them. When Saddam Hussein became ruler of Iraq, you know what he did? He killed all of his enemies, hundreds of them, hundreds and hundreds of them over there, because the only way a tyrant can rule, a dictator can rule, is by killing off his enemies. And if he finds out that you're an enemy, you're gone. That's in the history of all of these tyrants. So why did Herod want to kill Jesus? He thought that he was going to be an earthly king, but he was ignorant. Jesus never did intend to establish an earthly kingdom. The Jews thought he would. Herod thought he would. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. The kingdom of God is within you, and you're within it. And I want to tell you, this ignorance on the part of Herod the Great was the reason he slaughtered the little babies 2 years old and under in Palestine at that time. Now, what happened is that Joseph and Mary took Jesus down into Egypt to escape the edict of Herod the Great. The Bible says when he saw he was mocked and those wise men didn't come back by and let him know where Jesus was, he didn't like it. He was as mad as a hornet. And he said, I'll just kill a bunch of babies. I'll get him one way or the other. But Joseph and Mary were intelligent enough to take him down into Egypt. And the Bible says they stayed there until Herod the Great died. And he didn't live too long. And when he died, they came back. Because that law was revoked and they weren't killing the babies. And so Jesus was brought up then in Nazareth. And so this man was known as Herod the Great. And that's one of the things that he's noted for is the slaughter of the babies. Now, his sons, let's start studying about them. You need to know about these Herods. As I said, there's five of them mentioned. They are of Jewish stock. The first one was Philip, Herod Philip. When Herod the Great was living, he decided on his death that he'd divide Palestine up and let his three sons reign at different places. And he did. Not only Philip, but also Antipas and also Agrippa. They all had their territory. And that's the reason you read about them in the Bible. Now, the thing that I notice about Philip, and probably he was maybe the nicest one, in that, and I say that with tongue in cheek when I say he's nice, because most of them were tyrants. They were mean, ungodly men. And they'd do anything to promote themselves, as we're going to find out in studying Acts 12. Now, but Philip, the thing that I note about him is that he helped build the city of Caesarea Philippi. He was known as Herod Philip of Trachonitis, the Tetrarch of Trachonitis, as he was called. When Jesus entered the city of Caesarea Philippi, and by the way, this is found in Matthew 16, it says, he came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? They said, well, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Well, he said, whom say ye that I am? And Peter, known for his impetuosity, said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus was really happy with that confession. He said, bless you, Peter. Bless you. You've made a wonderful statement. And he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but the Father who is in heaven. And I also say that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16, 18 and 19. Now, the reason I bring up Caesarea Philippi is this Philip, this son of Herod the Great, helped build that city. As a matter of fact, it was built upon a limestone foundation way up in northern Palestine. It was rock-founded, rock-bounded, and rock-surrounded, really. And it's rather odd, but Jesus, the Rock of Ages, known as the Rock of Ages, said, upon this rock I will build my church. And that's a lot of rocks around Caesarea Philippi. A lot of rocking. Well, this city had been destroyed, and Philip, the Tetrarch, the son of Herod the Great, rebuilt it, and when he finished building it, he named it Caesarea for the Caesar and Philippi for himself, Philip. Therefore, you have the city of Caesarea Philippi, where Jesus went and promised to build his church. We're studying about these Herods, five of them in the Bible. Herod the Great is dead, and later on, Philip died. And that leads us to the next Herod. His name is Herod Antipas. He's mentioned in Mark, the sixth chapter. And the thing that he's noted for is he beheaded John the Baptist. You see, when Philip died, his brother liked his wife. Might have even been before he died. I'm not real sure about that. But he married Herodias. And John the Baptist told him one day, he said, it's not lawful for you to have her. And his wife didn't like it. Now, old Herod Antipas, he didn't mind it too bad. He just sort of took it and shook it off. But his wife didn't like it at all. For John the Baptist, a preacher and a harbinger of Jesus, to tell her husband that he had no right to have her. Now, it's his brother Philip's wife. She had a daughter named Salome. Herod threw a party. And at that party, the daughter danced. It must have been an exotic type of dance, sort of sensual, I guess. Because Herod Antipas was really carried away with that dance. He really liked to watch that girl dance. He was so carried away with it that he said, I'll give you anything up to half of my kingdom. Well, that's a pretty broad offer. He was a king. She went to Mama and says, Mother, your husband has offered me half of his kingdom. What should I ask for? She said, oh, ask for the head of John the Baptist. Said, that scoundrel, that ungodly preacher, he told me that I had no right to be married to my husband. And evidently she was the daughter of the other Herod, of Philip. She wasn't Antipas' daughter, but stepdaughter, right? And so she came back to Herod and said, well, you've offered me all this. I want the head of John the Baptist. Herod didn't want to kill him. He knew he was a just, the Bible said he was a just man. And that Herod knew he was a good man. He didn't want to do it. He's sort of like old Pilate. You know, Pilate was caught between the hard place and the rock. He didn't want to kill Jesus. And he said, what evil hath he done? Said, why, he's a just man. And my wife's had a dream about him. I don't want to kill him. The Jews says to crucify him. Said, let his blood be upon us and our children. And he, as a politician, he succumbed to the pressure. Well, Herod succumbed to the pressure. He'd made a promise. He didn't want to kill John. But he sent to the prison and beheaded him. And brought his head on a platter. And presented it to his ungodly wife. She got even with the preacher because he preached something she didn't like. You know, a lot of people like get even with a preacher because they don't agree with him. And so she had a methodology of getting rid of a preacher she didn't like. Well, that's one of the things we notice about Herod Antipas. And by the way, over in Luke, the 23rd chapter, in about verse 7, another thing we notice about him is that when Pilate was trying Jesus, he sent him back to Herod, and it was this Herod he sent him to, Herod Antipas. That's another thing we notice about the second Herod, is that he interviewed Jesus and sent him back to Pilate. This is the Herod Antipas. I've been told by Josephus, the Jewish historian, that he was demoted by Caligula, the Caesar, and was run out of his office a little bit later, and that the power that he had was given to his brother Agrippa, Herod Agrippa. Now, this is the next one we're discussing. This is the one here. Herod Agrippa is the one we're reading about here in Acts 12 who beheaded James, the brother of John, and put Peter in jail. We're on the third one now. And Herod Agrippa's reigning. He's a tyrant, a very evil man. And as I said, he took his sword and killed an apostle and killed a preacher by the name of James, killed him with a sword. And when he saw it pleased the people, he apprehended Peter and put him in jail. We'll be talking about that a little bit later on. But I want to talk also about the fact that he had a son. And over in Matthew, the 26th chapter and verse 28, we have the statement by his son, who was also named Agrippa. When Paul preached to him, Paul said, King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? And he probably nodded his head, yes. He said, I know that you believe. He said, Paul, almost you persuade me to be a Christian. Well, that's the closest any of the Herods became to being a Christian, is when Paul preached to him. He never did obey, but he said, you almost persuade me. He said, Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but all who hear me this day would become such as I, except these bonds. Paul was incarcerated at the time. But that's the son of this Herod right here in Acts 12, and the grandson of Herod the Great. There's five of them. And I've called your attention to all five of the Herods, because sometimes we get a little mixed up when we read in the Bible about a Herod. We don't know which one it was. And this one here is Herod Agrippa, the third son of the Herod the Great, who lived in the days of Jesus and killed the babies. And you see that he's a tyrant. What I'd like to say about him before I talk about some of the other things he did, I want to show you what happened to this one, this last one. And I'm here in the 12th chapter, and I'm turning to, over to the latter part of the chapter, to verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. Now, Josephus tells us that this was at one of the games in the Olympic area, and that thousands of people were there on this day, and that this Herod Agrippa, about whom we're talking, was there, and he had a throne. And according to Albert Barnes in his commentary, this throne wasn't actually a kingly throne, but it was an elevated chair that he had to sit as he watched the participants in the sports, in a sports arena. And so he had met there. And this is the occasion that Luke mentions here about the fate of this last of the Herods, with exception, of course, his son. This is the last one of the sons of Herod the Great. He said he was dressed in royal apparel. Josephus said, really, the royal apparel was made of silver. He claims that it was made of pure silver. And when he stepped out on the portico where the people could see him, it glistened in the sun. And he stood out there as a king in this silver garment. That was the royal garment that he wore, according to the historian Josephus. And it says he sat on the throne and made an oration. That is, he made a speech to the people. This is the last Herod, the one who had killed James. And it says the people gave a shout. And you can imagine thousands of people in arena giving a shout at one time, sort of like at a football game. They gave a shout saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And he liked that. Those Caesars and Herods, they liked to be honored as a god. As a matter of fact, Caligula, one of the Caesars, demanded that he be called Lord God. You addressed him as Lord God. That's how arrogant they were and defiant, some of those rulers. But I want to show you how quickly they can come to an end. And I don't care how big you are and how great you are, and whether you're a king or a potentate or a president or what you may be, you can be cut down mighty quick. He had just beheaded James, the brother of John of Sword, and now let's see what happens to him. God shows us this to show that he still rules, and if he desires to take someone out, he will. That doesn't mean he takes all evil men out, but he decided to take some of them out, and this is a case in point. That he has the power to do it. Anytime he wants to take a wicked ruler out, he can take him out just like that. Now, that doesn't mean he chooses to take all of them out, but he did this man. They said, "It's the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord, now notice this, the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave God not the glory. Why was he smitten? He didn't give God any glory. You know, I like the way that's worded, because I want to tell you, my friends, God wants people who give him the glory because he deserves it. We're just a bag of dust and ashes here on this earth. Isaiah calls us filthy rags, talking about our activities and what we might do. But I want to tell you, you need to give God glory for whatever you are, whatever you have. If you have any money, give God the glory because he gave you the power to give it. If you have any ability or talent, give God the glory. Don't go around bragging about it. Give God the glory because he deserves it. He gave it to you. He made you. If you have intellect, he gave you intellect. Whatever IQ you have, God gave it to you. Don't brag about it. Be thankful you have, if you have an IQ of 120 or 30, thank God for it. Don't brag about it. If you have a strong body, real healthy, give God the glory. Don't brag about that you did something. God gave it to you. If you have ability, give God the glory. Harriet didn't want to do that. He took the glory to himself. And that's the trouble with a lot of our politicians, is they take glory. They don't give God the glory. They take the glory to themselves as if they're something. And evidently, God didn't like that. Well, it says here, because he gave not God the glory. So I'm just reading it out of the Bible. And he says he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've read this and I've thought about it. And the first time I read it as a young preacher, I thought he died and then worms got in his body, because I know that that's what happens to a body many times when a corpse is that after a certain length of time, worms will get in the body. But that's really not what happened here. What happened here is that the worms got in the body, and that's what killed him. I noticed that, I believe it was Albert Barnes in his commentary, he says that they call that disease back there when worms entered the body, very painful death, morbus pinocleurus, I believe is the name of it. They called it back in those days. And it's a painful death where worms get into your intestinal tract and in the colon, and they eat at you, and you die a very painful death. I just hate to think about it. But that's the way that this tyrant died. He killed James, the brother of John, with a sword for no really reason. But look how he died. Look how he died. And it is said that that's the way he died. He suffered a great deal before he died. Worms entered his body and he died. That's the way he died. This shows the great power of God, and that God still holds within the hollow of his hand the destiny of people as well as nations. We shall study later on about what he did to Peter and how that God showed his power to deliver Peter and why he delivered Peter but he didn't deliver James. And we'll discuss that. If you're here today and you're subject to the gospel call and you need to become a Christian, remember to give God the glory. Remember, God gave you everything you have. You manifest that giving God the glory by obeying the gospel, by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized, by living the Christian life. You give God the glory. And one of these days, when the lengthening shadows of life cross the horizon of eternity, you'll be prepared to meet your God, and he'll say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant." And that'll be a great day. If you're here today and you're subject and you're not a Christian, we hope you'll become one. Let's stand at this time together and sing our invitation song.